interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National...
regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Why don't we begin tonight's show with a story from Palm Coast, Florida. You can imagine the shock of a mother. She left her 10-month-old baby in the care of a man who was supposed to babysit. The mother got home, and she found that when she arrived, the man she left her baby with was actually scrambling and scratching around trying to get in the garage door. She said, "What are you doing?" And he admitted that, well, he'd been out at a bar drinking. He was obviously intoxicated. She said, "Where is my baby?" He said to her, "Don't worry, the baby's fine. The baby is being watched by the pit bull." That's right. He had gone out drinking and left the pit bulldog to babysit the baby. The dog was sitting outside the room. The door was shut. The baby was crying. But amazingly enough, the pit bull apparently did a fine job of guarding the baby. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua.
What a program we have, Forrest. Do you realize, Forrest, this is our last show before December 21st. 2012.
I do indeed, and it's just amazing. It's upon us.
And so much crazy stuff is happening in the world. Investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. We were just talking before the program about all of the news that's it's accelerating, it's speeding up. Madness is erupting. We've been looking forward to / dreading this date for a long time. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling excited.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, here we are, you know, about to go on the air, and we just keep having these stories flowing in right up to the minute. We were just talking about the story with Hall and Oates involved in a bloody battle. Apparently, Hall bit the eye or part of the eye area off of Oates. like some kind of zombie apocalypse is erupting even among them. And, I mean, these types of stories are just pouring in now. And part of the 2012 sort of concept is that all the events of the world are accelerating. There is a quickening. Things are happening at a faster, more condensed pace. And it would therefore make sense that tonight we would have a condensed show. The quickening has touched all of our lives in such a distinct way. Tonight's program is a two-hour edition of Speaking of Strange. Now, we didn't plan it this way. It turns out there is a ball game, and when most of our affiliates are carrying a ball game and it's going to affect our programming, then we adjust. So tonight's show is actually going to be just a two-hour program. And pretty much what we're going to do is just sort of skip what we usually do in hour number two, and then we'll end with a dark 30 hour, as usual. But tonight, maybe the reality is hitting home here, that sure enough, December 21st, 2012, is 6 days away. It's less than a week away.
Wow.
And tonight, we are going to dig into what this means. I'm going to get specific with you and tell you about different theories and philosophies regarding what may or may not happen on this date. We're also going to take some opinions from other people. Out in the field, I understand Commander Y, who is our covert operative.
Lord.
He has got some news. He's going to break on the show for the first time about what he thinks is going to happen on December 21st.
Well, Commander Y called me earlier this week. He had lost your number or something. Says, I've got to get on to Joshua's show. I've got to do it. And then I gave him, put you two in contact, and I guess you're going to have him on tonight sometime, aren't you?
The crazy thing is, every time you communicate with Commander Y, every communication device he has got that filter on it.
Right.
So it's always this slowed down. I don't even know what he really sounds like. But tonight I understand that he's going to really put like the max filter on it because this information is so sensitive. When he breaks it on the show, who knows? He's the ultimate conspiracy theorist. I'm not sure I believe everything that he says. But it's always interesting to touch base with him. So we're going to talk to him later. But the main thing is we are going to really get serious this first hour about some of the extremely weird and controversial stuff that you may really have to deal with here for 2012. Now, of course, last week on the program, we had Dr. William R. Forstchen on, and the ultimate man. And Dr. Forstchen, he did a great job of going over some of the things you might want to keep in mind if there is going to be a potential disaster of some kind, how to prepare for this. And I know that, Shelley, you even got some great feedback because people, you know, they can call you at Wright's Coin Shop if they want to buy coins.
Right.
Sometimes they just call you to talk about the show.
Right.
And you got a great call from the Arctic Circle, isn't that right?
I did. I got a call from Officer Cole, who you interviewed a while back about a ball of light. He is patrolling on the north slope of the Arctic Circle, and he listened to the podcast of the show, this last show, and he loved it. He had so many wonderful things to say, and everything was timely. He said every single thing that we talked about was something that was going on in his life right then, and he and his friends had been talking about Dr. Forstchen's book, and here we had him on the show.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Officer Cole. And, you know, one thing I really admire about Randy Cole is that he called in here as a man of the law and told us essentially that he had seen a fire monkey. And that's huge in our business, to have a guy with that kind of credibility come forth, give a police report about what. Now, maybe this wasn't a quote-unquote fire monkey, but it sounds a lot like the fire monkey to me. He said it looked like a primate of some kind inside of a ball of fiery light. I call that a fire monkey, don't you, Forrest?
I would.
So, in fact, you know, I started off tonight by talking about how that, a pit bull is babysitting a 10-month-old child, an infant. And now we're leaping to fire monkeys. And I realized just now, I've got all these animal stories. Listen, this is from New Zealand. Mobius has been flipping out over this one. Apparently, and I have not seen this video yet. I'm pretty sure that the video is going to be posted at speakingofstrange.com. But according to this story in New Zealand, there is a guy who is training dogs to drive cars. And they are straight drives, okay? These are stick-shift cars. I don't know. I just haven't had a chance. I've been so slammed. I have not had a chance to watch this video. Mobius says it's mind-boggling that you see this dog. It's an 18-month-old giant schnauzer. And it's been there shifting gears and driving a car around. Okay, that's incredible enough. It's also very spooky. Then I see this story from Europe. Catfish in Europe are evolving so much that they now are able to leap out of the water and eat pigeons. On the shore, they like squirm up there. You know how it looks when a shark just kind of bolts out of the water and grabs a seal and slides back in? That's what this looks like. These catfish are just shooting up out of the water, and they're just gobbling up pigeons and pulling them back in. I'm not sure what to make of that, but it's a step forth. It's an advancement.
Well, that's what the catfish gene said would happen in the end times.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now that you mention it, it makes sense. The catfish genes. Do you want to elaborate more on catfishianity?
I don't know.
It's an obscure religion. Some would call it a cult. We'll call it a religion. We have enough respect for the catfishians. I tell you what. We're going to take a break here in a minute. When we come back, we're going to get kind of serious here, and I'm going to tell you what you need to know, in my opinion, about December 21st, 2012. Now, I want you to also keep this in mind. If you want the full story, the in-depth, broad scope, then there is nothing better you can do than go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and watch my two-hour video there. It's called 2012, Raw Truth and the Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. It costs, I think, $4.95, something like that, to watch this. But it is well worth it. You will not find a more rational, balanced, realistic portrayal of the big story here about how 2012, it's not the end on the 21st. It's the beginning, my friends. So don't be freaking out too much. Sure, some bad things will happen to some of you. But some great things will happen to some of you. It depends on how that your frequency kind of aligns with the frequency shift that's about to happen in the universe. Go check that out. And it's a special show. What can I tell you? We came in here to make sure we had one last show for you, just in case the world does end. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be back right after this.
Johnny Tar. And even if you saw it yourself, you wouldn't believe it. But I wouldn't trust a person like me if I were you. Sure, I wasn't there. I swear I have an alibi. I heard it from a man who knows a fellow who says the truth.
It was 9 in the morning on a cold and rainy night. When he walked into the castle bar, looking to get light. He had money in his pocket, he had whiskey in his eye. He said, get up off your asses and set up the glasses. I'm drinking this place dry. Now all the serious boozers, they were soon broken hearted. When Johnny finished off 6, and he was only getting started. Guzzling down the pints and knocking back like candy. He was looking all right to be drinking all night. And Nora brought out the brandy, Johnny Tar. And even if you saw it yourself, you wouldn't believe it. But I wouldn't trust a person like me if I were you. Sure, I wasn't there. I swear I have an alibi. I heard it from a man who knows the bum who says the truth.
Here we go, Sheila.
Drank the whole damn bottle, had another pint or two. When it made no impression, he started a session with Murphy's Millennium Brew. He was waiting for his pint when his face turned green. Jesus, Johnny fell down after only 15. You could have heard a pin drop, and the crowd let out a roar. He took 5 cork women to lift Johnny off the floor. The doctor looked him over, said, you better call the hearse. But it's not what you're thinking, it wasn't the drinking. This man died of thirst, Johnny Tarr.
Yet, speaking of strange, the last program before December 21st, 2012. I sound really hot in my headphones, Forrest. I sound like the Wizard of Oz. Is that better? It still sounds weird to me. Oh, well, keep playing around. It's 2012. Everything is... There we go.
Let's try that. That's a little bit better. Sorry if I scared you all listening to the show.
This is the great and terrible Joshua Warren. This is your conscience.
It might be time to pop some champagne bottles. It might be time to get good and boozed up one way or the other, as December 21st is upon us. You know, I recently went to a bar in downtown Asheville.
Really?
Yeah, you'd never expect that from a guy like me. Yes, I went on a bender like Johnny Tarr, decided to get tight. And I go to it's actually an upscale establishment called Cucina 24. I know you've been there, Shelley, right?
Yes.
And have you been there, Forrest?
I have not.
They have an interesting selection of craft cocktails. And one drink that I had, which I had never even seen before, was a smoke-infused cocktail. You guys ever seen that before?
No.
It took the guy, you know, probably 10 minutes to make this drink. Maybe not that long. But basically, the bartender, I think his name is Don, excellent bartender. He looks like he's straight out of the late 1800s in some saloon somewhere. He's wearing a vest. He's got a nice mustache. His hair is all slicked back and whatnot. And he actually has this machine that he can put some type of a wood chip in and fill a jug full of smoke. And then he mixes up the beverage and lets part of it sit on ice for a while and whatnot. And then he finally gets to the point, the stage in the operation, when he pours the beverage into the jug with the smoke and just, you know, puts a cap on it and lets it sit there for a while, shakes it up some. And then he finally, you know, pours it out. It gives it a nice little garnish there, and you have a truly very smoky tasting drink. It tastes like it came off the grill.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's quite a production to see him do this. In fact, there were people with their cell phone cameras just like videotaping the process of him making this thing so they could send it to their friends and put it on Facebook and everything. Smoke-infused cocktail. That's a new one, and it's available at Cucina 24.
What was it called?
You know, I'm not sure what the name of it was. I just told him, make me your favorite smoke-infused cocktail. And he used bourbon and some type of hickory chip or something like that. And it had an apple-like a garnish on it. I don't know what it was.
But it was bourbon-based.
It was bourbon-based, yeah. So you can see that. Oak and bourbon smoky kind of, yeah. So that was pretty neat. So, all right. Enough drink and talk. Let's get down to what you're all tuning in for, of course. You want to know what's going to happen on December 21st, 2012. Well, if you should watch my video, but the next best thing you're going to get right here on this radio show tonight. You know, if there's any doubt in your mind that information and events have truly been quickening and that there really is this time wave that's speeding up, getting faster and faster and faster, and everything's becoming more and more hectic and frantic, all you have to do is look at the editing and the pacing of television shows and movies. I mean, if you watch, you know, some movie from the 1930s, big, long, static shots, you watch a show from just 15, 20 years ago. You get much more of that. Now, when you watch a TV show, especially if it's a nonfiction show, like on the History Channel or Travel Channel or something, if you really sit down and you watch the way it's cut together, there is hardly ever a shot that lasts more than 2 or 3 seconds. Literally, 2 or 3 seconds. And, you know, we just are reflecting our own sort of ability to process information and how distracted that we are by all the things happening and how we entertain ourselves. And, of course, the quintessential aspect of this would be the Twitter generation, right? I mean, it's like you've got like 100 words or whatever, 100 characters to say this. And anything beyond that, you know, nobody's going to pay attention to this. So get right to it. You get a sentence or two, basically. And I kind of like it. It has pros and cons, but it's funny because it's like, who sits down and reads a book like War and Peace anymore? Who's got time for that? When was the last time any of us sat down and just read a big novel from cover to cover? Can you even remember the last time you did that, Forrest?
No. I mean, there's a Stephen King book, Under the Dome, which is a big epic novel. It's like, I started the reading, and I was like, you know, I don't have time for this. I bought the book on an audio cassette and listened to it for 3 months.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's one way of doing it. And I'm sure you agree, Shelley, right?
I do. Yeah. I'm trying to read a much, much smaller book, and I've picked it up 3 or 4 times, and I love the book. I've read it before. I just don't have the time to read it.
Even though I wrote a novel around 15 years ago called The Evil in Asheville, which is probably 350, 400 pages, I don't know that I've ever sat down and read a book that thick from cover to cover. It was just funny. I wrote one. I was very proud when I read Of Mice and Men. That was my favorite novel because I could read it in, you know, an hour or two. Okay, so here's the thing. You're going to hear all this confusing information about 2012. And also, any time there is a specific date that is fixated upon for any purpose, there's going to be a lot of controversy. You always have people who are going to pop up and say, oh, that's the wrong date. They didn't calculate all the leap years, and, you know, they left out this particular solar cycle, and they misinterpreted this number from the ancient Greek to the, you know, updated Arabic or whatever. You know, people, you always have scholars out there. I could tell you my birthday is October 25th. Oh, well, yeah, but you're not counting the it's actually October 27th because, you know, there's always people who are going to do that. But essentially, I think that December 21st, 2012 is going to mark a significant change. Okay, fine. What is the nature of that change? Well, let me start by telling you a little bit about the Mayans. And here's something that I find really interesting. In looking into the Mayan culture, I found that there was a prophecy that the Mayans made thousands of years ago, apparently, at least hundreds of years ago, that was really interesting. The prophecy went along the lines of this. on April 21st of the year 1519, they prophesied that strange bearded men covered in shiny metal would come to their culture and destroy it. Okay. And it would be the end of the world, basically, for them.
Well, didn't they initially prophesize that it was going to be Montezuma's return? Or not Montezuma's, but...
You're talking about Kukulcan? Well, we're getting to that.
Okay.
We're talking about 1519.
Okay.
So they prophesied in April 21st of 1519, these strange men with beards and shiny things were going to come and it'd be the end of their culture. As it turns out, that was the exact day that Cortez landed on their shore. And they had never seen ships like that before. They had never seen these strange-looking bearded men covered in armor with all these weapons and things. Nobody could have imagined what was actually going to happen. And I guess we're actually late on a break here, so we'll pause right there. When we come back, we will dig deeper into the meaning behind this. If they were that accurate about what happened on April 21st of 1519, then you have to ask yourself, how accurate might they be about what's going to happen in 6 days? What exactly did they say? I'm going to tell you this. I've read this before, but I'm going to tell you exactly what they said was going to happen. The best translation in 6 days from today, and then we're going to dig more into what I think is going to happen as well and some of my interpretations. Amazing that we're finally here, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's a special condensed version of the show, a two-hour December 21st, 2012 edition, because this is our last show before that date hits. Hopefully, we'll be around to do a Christmas edition after that. You never can tell, but keep this in mind. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a live chat during the show, more information on topics discussed, and links to all kinds of cool stuff, like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. Yes, they are still running through the end of the year. And, of course, we'll have ghost hunts and other events taking place even throughout the wintertime. Working on some very cool stuff soon that I'll be announcing. So, all right, we're talking about what is most likely going to happen around December 21st in 6 days, if you are listening to this from our original broadcast date. Well, before the break, I explained that according to most of the scholarly records here, the Mayans were eerily accurate at predicting the day that the Spaniards, the conquistadors, would arrive and essentially enslave them and truly ruin their culture. They predicted April 21st of 1519 that these invaders of some kind would arrive. Of course, the Mayans didn't know what that meant until it had happened, and then it was like, oh, that's what they were talking about. So, if they were that accurate about a tangible event happening on that particular day, what did they say would happen on December 21st of 2012? Well, I looked into this for a long time, and I know there's a great deal of debate over different translations, but there is one translation that I concluded is, I think, the best. And the funny thing is, the unfortunate thing, when the conquistadors who were quote-unquote Christians came and enslaved them and did horrible things to the Mayans, one thing they did was take all of their documents, I mean, a pile of invaluable historical documents, and just burn them all. So we just have tiny fragments of what was said, and those have to be properly interpreted. But here's this translation by a scholar named Makemson, and it was published in the Shalom Balam of Tizimin. And I'm going to read it to you exactly as it was written, verbatim. Here we go. Quote, "In the final days of misfortune, the end of the world shall come. Then the God will come to visit his little ones. Perhaps afterlife will be the subject of his discourse. These valleys of the earth shall come to an end. There shall be no priests and no one who believes in his government without having doubts," end quote. That's what they actually said. Now, it's easy to just pluck this one little fragment out, "then the end of the world shall come." But if they meant that literally, then there would be no need to go on and say, well, then the God is going to come, visit his little ones, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think they meant it literally. I think that they meant it as literally as they meant that the world would end when the Spaniards came. We're talking about a big shift here, a major transition in thought and society. That's as much as we can glean from what the Mayans said. So where does science kick in and philosophy and imagination? Well, you know, last year, the Nobel Prize for Physics went to two guys who finally proved once and for all that every particle in the universe is indeed accelerating. It's getting faster and faster and faster. It's long been thought that, but they proved it. So if you could look at the universe on an oscilloscope as a wave, you would see that that wave is getting smaller and smaller and smaller because it's getting faster and faster and faster. It's speeding up, which means the frequency is increasing. And the thing is, however, it's all very complicated, and ultimately I think that these wavelengths show that there is an ebb and flow in the universe. It's similar to what we have here on Earth that we call seasons. There are seasons. There are times when the wavelengths get very large, and then they get very small, and they get very large. It's just a big cycle. And as this frequency sort of condenses down, and everything becomes more and more excited, you could say, odd things are going to happen here. I mean, for the first time in about 26,000 years, there's going to be this alignment that you keep hearing about, and supposedly the Earth, according to some experts, is going to perform a strange little wobble at that moment. And we don't know what happens when Earth wobbles like that, because 26,000 years ago, nobody was around to tell us. You know, nothing that remained that we could access. So who knows? But if you look at the frequency of the universe as being a phase change that's accelerating, you should hope that your energy is sort of in line with the energy of the universe. If it is, I think this will be good for you. If it's not, it's going to be bad for you. But time wave zero is what a researcher named Terence McKenna called this phenomenon, decades ago that basically if you take these wavelengths and you overlay them with various points in history, you will find that major events happened that we acknowledge as major world events happened at times when these waves, if you will, were getting very condensed like they're getting now. And that maybe on December 21st, the wave is going to be so condensed that it reaches what we almost think of as a singularity. Now, some people would think of that as the end of the wave. I think of that, however, as the wave just crossing over the baseline and going to continue on in maybe a bizarro world where paranormal things are a little more prevalent. But here's my point. If you believe this time wave zero philosophy, then time wave zero indicates that more information gets compressed into a shorter period of time. So that is to say, 5,000 years ago, if you wanted to know what happened in China yesterday, it might take you 6 months or a year to get that information. Now you can find that out in 5 seconds. Everything is being compressed. And so, that said, the entire amount of change that has happened in the past 16.4 billion years is supposedly being compressed into the last 260 days of this year. That began in April. So what that means is, in the last half of this year, there will be as much change as in the previous lifespan of the universe. And that same amount of change will happen 18 times on the very last day, and 13 times in the very last second. Okay, so you get the idea. It's getting faster and faster. So if this is true, if this time wave theory is correct, then that means on December 20th, more change is going to happen. 18 times the amount of change will happen that one day than has happened in the entire lifespan of the universe. And then again, the very last second, which for us will be just before the clock, and I'm talking on the East Coast here on New York time, just before the clock changes to 6:11 a.m. on the morning of Friday, December 21st, 13 times the amount of change that has ever happened in the history of the universe since the Big Bang is supposed to occur. What does that mean? It is unimaginable. So this is the point when you could just say, screw it, why even talk about this anymore? It's unimaginable. But we will attempt to imagine just a little bit more. How dare we? We will try to take it that one little step further when we come back from this break. I hope that you're learning something. I hope you're not too confused. You're not too overwhelmed. After all, none of us really knows what's going to happen. But we'll find out soon enough. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll wrap this up when we return. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Seen my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. I'm not crazy.
final minutes of this hour on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. We're going to start by touching base with Commander Y, get his opinion on 2012, and then dig into the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. I am Joshua P. Warren, and, you know, here's what I think is most likely going to happen around December 21st. I think that there have been a lot of miniature scenarios over the centuries that are just little tiny December 21st, 2012s, when there have been little heightened phases of these frequencies, and we call them flaps. These are times when more UFOs are seen, maybe like that year before the Silver Bridge fell in Point Pleasant when Mothman was seen flying around. And the reason is that when our frequency begins to pick up, it's bringing us closer to some of the frequencies for these beings that are usually considered interdimensional. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more paranormal activity. We're going to start seeing more ghosts, more UFOs, more weird stuff. And it's partially because, you know, human beings are continuing to evolve just like these catfish are that are leaping out of the water and eating pigeons. Humans are changing. We are advancing. We're developing. And I think that on December 21st, the third eye is going to begin to open. You may feel a slight tingle between your eyes, and you will begin to be able to experience unusual things in a much more tangible, realistic way. And of course, that shouldn't be so unbelievable. I mean, if you consider if evolutionarily humans were once just slimy clumps of cells that just sort of clambered up from the primordial ooze and over time sprouted tiny legs and then finally, you know, one eyeball, now another eyeball, now a couple of arms, now a nose, etc. Why has that process ended? Well, it hasn't. I think we may literally have a third eyeball between our eyes and, you know, another 100,000 years or something. Maybe a guy's going to be born with one tomorrow. And that guy's going to have a big advantage. So it wouldn't be so bad. The ladies will probably, they'll be afraid of that at first. But once he becomes super rich and famous, they'll say, oh, that's adorable that he has three eyeballs, and suddenly he'll be Mr. Popular. Am I going too far with this? I think not. So, point is, it's going to be a great thing for mankind in general, because we are going to be able to sense and perceive much more. But to go through that period of time, we know that Mother Earth is a little upset right now. Regardless of what you think about environmentalism and all that, we're taking a bunch of stuff that's in the ground and we're putting it up in the sky. And that's probably going to cause a problem at some point. It wasn't quite meant to be put from the ground into the sky at that rate, probably. So, yes, there will be, you know, all kinds of strange environmental and weather issues. And so it doesn't matter if you think it's going to hit the fan on December 21st. I can give you the same advice that I'm about to give you. I could have delivered the same information before the Revolutionary War or the Civil War or the Great Depression or the Spanish Flu or World War II or 9/11. Basically, take this as an opportunity to go out and do a little bit of preparation. Go stock up on some canned food. Get yourself as much fresh, clean, filled water as you can. Stock up on your medications. Basically get some things that will provide a little bit of comfort for you. You know how it feels if you're a computer user when all of a sudden at the worst, most inopportune time, you get a computer virus and now you're screwed. Now you're vulnerable. You got to spend a bunch of money. You got to make trips to the repairman. It's a big pain. Well, don't wait until something like that happens with your whole house, with your whole lifestyle. Go ahead, take this as an opportunity to get prepared, And don't be too freaked out if you start seeing more UFOs flying around, maybe a few more little demons running around, some leprechauns, angels maybe. That could be a good thing. Fire Monkey will probably be running around and getting into mischief. There will be Hodags and Wendigos and Skunk Apes and Little People. Pandora's Box could be opened over the next few hundred years. So just, you know, kick back and enjoy the ride. But we'll find out when we return what Commander Y has to say about all this. He's our covert op in the field. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The Dark 30 Hour is coming up next. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.